years. And shame that we're going on this time for everything that we are dealing with will be no more, Father. And we will stand face to face with you in complete joy and surrender and humility. And just worship you right there, Father. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the joy that brings us in this life, the joy that is to come. Father, I just pray for Pastor Craig now as he brings your word. Father, I pray that it too would be uplifting and encouraging to us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
What a great song set. If you will please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 12 this morning and only be looking at a couple of verses. In fact, the whole rest of this epistle will be a little smaller bites than what we've taken earlier on. But verse 12 through 14, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14 says this: Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. For if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. On your part, he is glorified. Father, thank you for our passage here this morning. Thank you for the passage here that reflects really what James says, counting it all joy when we fall into various trials. And Lord, I pray that we would see exactly why that is here this morning. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Some of the most memorable times with my dad and two brothers were some of the outings that we went on that did not go so well. Maybe you can relate. I remember the four of us on a tiny little dinghy boat for a fishing trip in the Long Island Sound. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but if you're from back east, New York area, the Long Island Sound is huge. And we were in this tiny little boat for a fishing trip, and a fog set in, and we got lost. We got lost for hours. It was cold. It was wet. It was miserable. We never even got to fish. And I think that might be my actual earliest memory in life, because it was traumatic, okay? It was miserable. I was very young, and it was very miserable. I remember later on a camping trip that the four of us went on, and we decided, meaning my dad decided, that we would get our food from the stream, right? So we traveled by truck 80 miles out into the wilderness, got to this stream, and it was dried up. There were, however, some pools here and there, and there were fish in them. We ended up catching those fish by hand, with the exception of one that my dad shot with a .22. Another time we went for a ride into the hills and our vehicle got stuck, very stuck. We had to hike out on foot for several miles to I-15 and then hitchhike home to get another vehicle so that we come back and get the first vehicle. These were some disastrous things, just some of the disastrous outings that I've participated in. But they are also some of the outings that I most remember, and even talk about. These are the things that we talk about now when we get together as adults. We talk about them with joy. Okay, they're happy memories. They bonded us together, and I think part of the reason is it was bonding, and well, it's joyous now because it's done. It's in the past. But it was also bonding, I think, because we suffered together through that. On a much grander scale, it makes me think of the camaraderie that combat soldiers can have with one another because of what they went through together. It makes me think of couples that are going through tremendous trials, whether it be marital trials or others, families that are going through very traumatic tragedies together. Church families, perhaps, that have gone through huge struggles together. Maybe even due to persecution by the world. But often it is these very things that God allows us to go through that creates a bond that is incredible. And we come out the other side more united than we ever could have been had we not gone through these things in the first place. They shared in the trial, but then on the other side, we also share in the glory. You see, suffering is part of life. It has been a major theme through this epistle. It's a result, though. Suffering is a result of sin in this world. Simply because sin exists, suffering exists. And a great deal of the suffering that happens in this world happens at the hands of sinful, wicked people. Greed, pride, lust, slander, murders, oppression, and persecution, they all happen because of sin. And when those worldly, sinful aspects are condemned, the one condemning them often becomes the target. When those evil desires are pursued and one counters them, they often become the target. That's why Christ was killed. That's why Christians are often targeted and persecuted. That is why just a few short years after Peter wrote this letter, Christians were used in Rome as human torches. They would be impaled, they would be lit on fire, and they would be used actually to give light at Roman functions and events. That's persecution. That's suffering. Suffering is not fun. But as we share in the same kinds of suffering, it does create a bond, okay, with the ones with whom we suffered. And I think, you know, we sang a lot about heaven here this morning. And I'm going to close this morning talking about just a thought that I had concerning this suffering and the stories that we might tell in heaven concerning that. You see, not only do we share in the suffering, but we can also then share in the glory. That's what our passage is about. Therefore, Peter's thrust, his thrust in our passage today actually gives us three reasons. Three reasons to be willing to suffer with Christ for doing good. That's our subject this morning, suffer with Christ. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. And it appears, just because of the statement being made in verse 12, it appears from our passage that perhaps some believers were thinking that Christian life is supposed to be trial-free. or at least not as troublesome as it is and can be. And there are also some today that think that. Believers today that think Christian life is supposed to be great. There's a trend in the church right now called the prosperity gospel that in essence teaches that if you are facing trials, if you're suffering, it's probably because you don't have enough faith or you're not giving enough, right? Well, if that were the case, then we could easily say that Peter's faith was not strong enough. Paul's faith was not strong enough. Jesus's faith was not strong enough because they all faced extreme trials, extreme suffering, and were poor in the world. And so Peter begins by saying this. In verse 12, look at it again. He says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing were happening to you." Okay? And this gives us our first reason to be willing to suffer. Here it is. Suffering with Christ is expected. It's expected. And the wording in verse 12 implies that we need to stop thinking that suffering is strange or some foreign thing that happens to followers in Christ. Why? Well, because Jesus suffered. He suffered. And to think otherwise, to think that we wouldn't, would be like riding a golf ball picker at the driving range and being surprised that golfers are trying to hit you. Now, there's an example of suffering simply because sin exists in the heart of men, right? It would be like walking into a furnace and being surprised that it's hot in there. Whew, didn't expect that. Well, what did you expect? Jesus was mocked. He was maligned. He was beaten. He was crucified for doing good. And if we seek to follow him and do good, suffering is expected. We will become targets of sinners just like he was, along with the natural trials that come just simply because sin exists in the world. So Peter says, he says, "Beloved, the beloved should not be bewildered." Okay, he says, don't think this strange. Don't think like this is something foreign. The beloved here in verse 12 is a reference to those who love God because he first loved us. Believers, you and I who have placed our faith in Christ for salvation, we are precious to him. He came to his own, and we were those who, instead of not receiving him, did receive him. We didn't reject him. We received his sacrifice for our sins. And because he suffered for goodness sake, we should not be surprised when we suffer for goodness sake. It's like we're riding in that golf ball picker with him. The beloved should not be bewildered when we become a target right along with him. Peter also reminds us that the purification process is painful. The purification process is painful. Peter calls it a fiery trial. And it brings to mind the smelting process of precious metals, putting them under fire to draw out the impurities and purify the product. Suffering in our life as Christ suffered purifies our character. It's designed to make us more like him, as we learned to respond as he did. That James passage I mentioned earlier in my prayer, James 1:2-4, he says, "My brethren, Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Jesus responded perfectly to suffering and trials and temptation. And he shows us through that how to do it. And so when we go through tests that are similar to what he went through, we can become more like him by responding as he did. But it can be painful. We can get burned. The purification process is painful. But then Peter says, this suffering is not strange. He says, get this, suffering happened, and he doesn't say this, I'm saying this, okay? The suffering is not strange. Suffering happened before you believed. It happened. I mean, people suffer that are not believers, right? It was part of life then because sin exists in the world, and it's part of life now because sin still exists in the world. Evil is still happening. It's not strange. It's not strange to suffer now because we suffered before. Suffering, Peter says, happened to Christ. The perfect, holy, sinless God-man suffered because sin is in the world. And then Christ told believers, he said believers would suffer. He told us this directly. Here's a couple passages from John 15. John 15, 18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. In verse 20 says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Suffering with Christ is expected. I thought it might be kind of hot in here, right? Suffering is the main theme of Peter's letter, our very first sermon in this series, which was an overview of the whole letter was called Suffering. It's what you signed up for. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Suffering with Christ is to be expected. We suffered before Christ. We suffer now with Christ. Only this time, it's for God's glory. Therefore, number two, the number two reason here this morning is suffering with Christ is joyous. Suffering with Christ is joyous. Look at verse 13 now. He says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. This is the second reason to be willing to suffer. Suffering with Christ is joyous. Really? Is it? Well, much like pregnancy and childbirth is joyous. Now, I don't know this from experience like moms do, but I do know this from observation. I have observed the sickness and misery of carrying a baby in your womb. But I've also observed the glow of a pregnant woman. I've observed the labor and pain of childbirthing, but I've also observed the overwhelming joy of that child's arrival. Scripture says that we, right now, we're going through some labor pains in Christianity, okay? But we can glow. We can glow even through that. But upon Christ's arrival in all his glory, we will have overwhelming joy. A number of the songs we sang here this morning talked about this comparison. Jesus talked about it too, in just the terms that I just talked about it. Listen to this from John 16. John 16, 20 through 22. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy." And then he says this, "A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world." He says, "Therefore, now you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." You and I, we can rejoice presently as we share in Christ's sufferings. We're going through sorrowful times while the wicked of the world seem to be rejoicing. But even in our present suffering, we can rejoice because we will rejoice exceedingly as we share in Christ's glory. That when his glory is revealed, Peter says, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Why? Well, a couple other passages of scripture here. 1 John 3, 2 and 3. The apostle John there says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." In Revelation 21:4, it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." That's why we can rejoice right now. Suffering with Christ is joyous because we can glow in this life, and there will also be a day when we will be like him, and suffering and its consequences will be a thing of the past. It'll be done just like it is for him, with exceeding joy. That is why we can go through those trials, whatever they are, that suffering, whatever it is, right now. That is why suffering with Christ is joyous. Suffering with Christ is expected, it's joyous, and then the final reason from our passage is suffering with Christ is beneficial. Now, we've already talked about sharing in his glory, but we're going to talk more about that. Verse 14, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." There was a point in my life where business meetings brought me down to Las Vegas on a regular basis. And a few of those meetings brought me into some rather sketchy neighborhoods. Neighborhoods with houses that were peppered with bullet holes. Neighborhoods where I did hear gunfire. And I was fearful. I was not at peace by myself. However, on one occasion, I went into one of those neighborhoods with a friend who also happened to be a police officer carrying a firearm. And with him, I was at peace. In fact, I almost felt untouchable. He made me brave. All because of who was there with me. I reap the benefits of who I was going through this neighborhood with. And that is exactly why suffering with Christ is beneficial. We may go through some dangerous places and trials in this world, places, events, encounters where we are even reproached for who we are, hated, persecuted, and mocked because of what we believe and proclaim. And it can be scary. Would be scary if we were alone. But because we are with Christ, because of the Spirit of God in us and upon us, we can actually be happy. Happy. Blessed. Blessed means happy benefits. That is what we have, can have, as we suffer with Christ. Now, we will be reproached for the name of Christ. That is the nature of sin and wickedness in the world. John 3:20 says, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest their deeds are exposed." John 15:18 again, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." We will be reproached for the name of Christ. The word "if" at the beginning of verse 14, I want you to know that it doesn't imply a might or might not scenario. It actually implies since. Since you will be reproached. Know that it will be happening. That it will happen. It may not happen to your face, but it may. Reproached means someone takes what we say or believe and throws it back in our face as something negative. One of the meanings of that particular word in the original Greek is to cast in the teeth, right? To throw it back in your face. In today's terminology, they're getting up in your grill. Oh, you believe in God? Really? He's just a crutch, a figment of your imagination. Oh, you believe Jesus was God? He was just a good teacher, one of many. Oh, you believe that such and such is a sin? Well, you're just an uneducated bigot. That is being reproached. And it could, probably will, happen to you and me. Maybe right to our face. And it's all for the name of Christ. We are reproached because we know Jesus. We follow Jesus. We love Jesus. Any other name, and we'd be accepted by the world. But the name of Jesus, it brings reproach from the world. That, by the way, I think is an indirect evidence of who he is. You look at a variety of the swear words out there. I've never heard anybody say, "Oh, Buddha." I think it's an indirect evidence that Jesus is indeed God. Romans 1:21 and 22 says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." However, suffering with Christ is beneficial. What is the benefit? Well, One of them we've talked about, and that is our future glory. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But another one is we will be reposed by the Spirit of glory and of God. To be reposed means that we can be at rest, at peace, even before we physically die. We can be in this life right now at peace in the midst of our suffering. Because of Jesus, we as believers have the Holy Spirit who is the guarantee of our future glory. That is the very Spirit of God residing in us, resting upon us, and giving us that rest, that peace. John 16, 7 and 8, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." That is the Holy Spirit of God. And as we are in the world convicting it of sin and the world hating us for it, the Spirit of God upon us can give us peace. He can make us peaceful. We're not in this world alone. We have the best law enforcement officer that we could possibly have right here with us. And he's packing a lot more than a gun. The Spirit of God upon us makes us powerful. We, by his power, can convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and be untouchable as we do it. Suffering with Christ is beneficial, because not only are we sharing in his suffering, but we're sharing in his glory. Romans 8, 16 through 18. The Apostle Paul says this, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, since indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." And then he says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Whatever we are going through right now, while it may be painful, unpleasant, it may be difficult to glow in the midst of it, know that whatever it is does not even compare at all to what we have to look forward to as followers of Christ. And therefore, Peter's thrust in our passage today has given us three reasons to be willing to suffer with Christ for doing good. It's expected, joyous, and beneficial. So he says here, stop thinking that Christian life should be trial-free. Jesus didn't teach that. He didn't experience that. He taught us that heaven would be trial-free. And Jesus sent the Spirit of God to give us peace and power through whatever it is we're going through right here and right now. And that Romans passage that I just read, along with this one here in 1 Peter 4, it makes me wonder if the suffering that we experience in this life will become sources of stories in heaven. Stories of how God used suffering in our life to benefit us for his glory. After all, Jesus still bears the marks of his suffering, his hands, his feet, his side. 1 John 3 says, "We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, And while there will be no more pain or sorrow or death, the suffering of this life is not only for our benefit and our purification, but it's for His glory. So I wonder if even our stories of suffering in this life will bring us joy in heaven. Maybe some of the most disastrous suffering will be the most remembered and even talked about when we get to heaven. And we'll talk about them with joy, reminiscing, and for God's glory. Perhaps we'll have fellowships in heaven where we tell our war stories for God's glory. Yeah, remember that time they impaled me on that stake and they lit me on fire as a torch to give them life for their feast? Yeah, I was really the light of the Lord that day. Perhaps the terrible things you're going through now will be glory in the future. We'll forget about the birth pain, the labor pain, and be overwhelmed with joy. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And I tend to believe that good will be on heaven's side more often than it will be on earth's side. Okay? And that is the exact opposite, really, of what the world does. Some translations of the Bible include what appears to be a little bit of a commentary by Peter at the end of verse 14. He says, on their part, that's the world's part, he is blasphemed, but on our part, he's glorified. Father, thank you for our time here this morning. Thank you for this message by inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Peter to us, to remind us that whatever we are going through in this life is not strange. It's not something that is foreign to us. It is normal in this sin-filled world, and it's exactly what your son went through. So we should expect nothing different, but also we thank you that because he rose from the dead, that he was glorified in heaven, and we are told that when we see him again, we will be like him. Lord, we can glory in that. We can have joy even in the midst of trials right now. So Lord, we do count it all joy. We count it all joy this morning, and we look forward to being with you in heaven someday and glorifying your name, perhaps even through the most terrible stories that are taking place in our life right now. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You would go ahead and